Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Ken.
And we actually have Father in the studio with us today instead of calling in. So welcome to Garrett Avenue here in Rosemont, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, and thank you, Ken. Yeah. I feel like I'm a pilot ready to take off and land in the kingdom of God.
Amen. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else who comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. We're also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. A couple of quick updates coming up on Sunday, April the 23rd, out at the Malvern Retreat House will be our annual Wake Up America dinner, one of two major fundraisers that we have each year, in addition to our golf outing that we have in the fall. All are more than welcome to come out and join us. Kathleen McCarthy will be on hand to provide the keynote address. The broadcasters, engineers, Father McKay, myself, and a lot of the other volunteers here at In His Sign will be on hand that day. There will also be a silent auction to raise much-needed funds to keep this Catholic radio apostolate going. And once again, Kathleen will have some raffle prizes there that you'll be entered into just for showing up. You can get all the information on our website at inhissign.com. Scroll to the bottom of the homepage, and there's a link there to download the flyer. The cost is $55 per person, $100 per couple, or $400 for a table of eight. And we are also in the need of sponsors. So download that flyer and take a look at the various sponsorship opportunities as well. And we hope to see you then. Again, that's Sunday, April the 23rd, just a couple of weeks away now, out at the Malvern Retreat House. Also, our Matt Talbot Shrine is alive and well in St. Gabriel's Church in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. Usually open on Tuesdays and Thursdays. It will be closed tomorrow in preparation for the Mass of the Last Supper tomorrow evening, but will resume normal activity next week. Open on Tuesdays and Thursdays following the daily Mass at 8:30. And open till 6 o'clock on Tuesdays, and somewhere around 5 o'clock on Thursdays. On Tuesdays at 4:30, Father Foley currently hears confessions from 4:30 to 5, and we've been having a holy hour from 5 to 6, but that may change. Stay tuned in the coming weeks. And then on Thursdays at 4 o'clock, we pray the Rosary together in St. Gabriel's Church by the shrine. Again, all are more than welcome to come and join us. If you are going to come down, get in touch with us at Our House Ministries. We'd be more than happy to meet you over at church and give you a quick tour. All right. I think that's it for the announcements. Why don't we get started with prayer? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. The following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization, and we got a slight addition to it at the end. I'll explain in a minute. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence for the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And over the past couple of weeks, we've been praying for a young boy who's currently in CHOP, Children's Hospital of Pennsylvania, with had leukemia, had a bone marrow transplant. And although the leukemia may be in remission, he's having some other issues around that transplant. And so his mother has modified the prayer for Luke Brendan Tuhill. So I'd ask you to keep Luke in your prayers. And the prayer goes on to say, intercede for Luke in asking for healing of his liver. We know that the liver is an organ that is particularly affected by the struggles of alcoholism, and so is of particular significance to the cause of Venerable Matt Talbot. From the treasury of your mercy and in honor of your servant's faithfulness and sanctity, we ask this request in the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph,
pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Maximilian Kolbe,
pray for us.
St. Mark G. and St. Monica,
pray for us.
St. John of God and St. Camillus de Lellis,
pray for us.
St. Michael, Gabriel, and Rayfield,
pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels,
pray for us.
And all the saints and angels,
pray for us.
And may the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace.
Amen.
And speaking of souls that we hope are resting in peace, Joe Riley, who did a show here for a number of years, the Spirit of the Jubilee, had passed away this past Saturday. Due to this being Holy Week, his funeral will not be until next Monday. There'll be a viewing beginning at 9:15 at St. Cecilia's on Ronch Street in the Fox Chase neighborhood of Philadelphia. Again, that's Monday morning, 9:15 is when the viewing will start, and the funeral mass at 10:30. So we ask you to keep Joe and all of his family in your prayers, and we pray that he's seeing God, that the person that he talked about so fondly for so many years here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. And maybe we should pray a golden Hail Mary for Joe. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Amen. All right, this is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversation. The numbers are 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance, you can reach us at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. Especially once you're calls as we go to the break at the bottom of the hour. When we come back from the break, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. And if God's touched you in a particular way recently and you want to witness to our listeners, we'd be more than happy to take your phone call. Again, it's just like you and I and Father are just chatting on the phone. Nothing to be nervous about. Just, take that power of the Holy Spirit and give us a shout.
Holy boldness.
Kathleen
would say.
Amen. All right, we're currently in Holy Week, and on Sunday we celebrated Palm Sunday. Just two saints this week that really get bumped out because it's Holy Week. Yesterday, the 4th, is normally the feast of St. Isidore, and on Wednesday, the 5th, today, St. Vincent Ferrer. And actually, today we celebrate Spy Wednesday. Tomorrow will be Holy Thursday in the Mass of the Last Supper. On Friday, Good Friday, and we'll celebrate the Passion. Saturday is Holy Saturday, and we really don't celebrate. It's kind of a quiet day. Jesus is in the tomb. We're all anticipating the resurrection, and then either attend the Easter Vigil on Saturday evening or Easter Mass on Sunday. So it's probably the highlight of the week for Christians and Catholics around the world, highlight of the liturgical year, I should say. With Easter, and this is really what it's all about, right, Father? Jesus, all the agony and suffering that he did, not until after he prepared the apostles for it, mm-hmm. at the Last Supper, and then is crucified on Good Friday, spends his time in the tomb, and then rises from the dead to indicate to all of us that we have an opportunity to rise from the dead and spend all of eternity with him. So there's ample opportunities over the next few days to spend time in church with our Lord, whether it's at the Mass on Thursday night and Saturday evening or Sunday, going to the Passion on Friday afternoon, which was always an interesting thing for me when I came back, because it's not Mass, but yet they have communion because they have the Blessed Sacrament reserved. And but I think when you enter into that Triduum and really plan on giving up those 3 days to spend a lot of time in prayer, that it can have a huge impact on your spiritual life, especially if it's not something that you've done before. We get to minister to a lot of people that are in recovery, and some of them, this could be their first you know, their first time experiencing the Triduum clean and sober. Uh-huh. And so, you know, dive right in and spend time with our Lord. So yeah. Before I go to you, Father, Father's in the studio now, so he gets to see how things work here.
How about it?
And we got Bob on the phone. Hello, Bob.
Hello, Ken.
Fruitland Bob. How are you, brother?
Fruitland Bob. Yes, I'm actually sitting on my dock in the breeze.
There you go. Very good. What's going on?
Well, I was thinking about, talking about Easter Sunday's coming up. It's the resurrection. And I was thinking, remember when a TV was, you had to see it live or you didn't see it at all? And people were able then to tape athletic events. Think of two people sitting down to watch the Super Bowl. One of them has seen it live. The other one taped it, and he doesn't know what happened yet. That's, the apostles are pre-resurrection. We're post-resurrection. We have incredible hope and faith because we already know what happened. You know, those poor guys, they didn't know what was happening. When they went to the Garden of Gethsemane, they were terrified. You know, it's like we would go now knowing what's going to happen. You know, I mean, it's weird that you would love to be an apostle and be there live in person with Jesus, but 2,000 years is not a bad thing either, you know?
Amen. And we get to look at it through the eyes, not only of the apostles and Scripture, but all the commentary over the last couple thousand years and the little insights. And, you know,
sure.
Father and I and the
sure.
and the folks, either whether it's a Calyx or the prayer group on Monday, it's every week now you get these little insights into Scripture that you never seen before. And you could read and, you know, could be in the pews for the Triduum for, you know, 20, 30 years. And yet there's still new things to be revealed and new things
exactly.
to understand.
Oh, yeah. Something new pops up all the time. Yeah.
Father?
Now, the thing that always made me the guiltiest during Holy Week was the Garden of Gethsemane when Christ says to the apostles, could you not watch with me 1 hour? It's like, I think when we say that penitential prayer at the beginning of Mass, I'm sorry for the things I did and the things that I failed to do. I feel like, could you not watch with me 1 hour? That's one of the things I failed to do because, like, yeah, I've been tired. I've been cold. It's like the Marine Corps had a saying is fatigue makes cowards of all men, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like when you get tired and it's like you get lazy, you know? And how dare we be lazy to God, you know? But I right now accuse myself of that because I was definitely guilty of that. But God also gave me a second chance. Down here, they have a perpetual Eucharistic chapel. You can go 24 hours a day. There's a code. You press the code, and you go into the chapel. So I've been making holy hours as if I was in the garden, you know?
Ah, there you go. There you go. Have a comment, Father?
Yeah. Thanks, Bob.
Sure.
I was thinking when you mentioned the agony in the garden where they're falling asleep and they're sleeping, their bellies are full. And he says, the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. And how true is that?
Absolutely.
And what Ken was saying, that, you know, the scriptures. I can read a scripture hundreds and hundreds of times, and it's always new. I'm always learning something. Something's always burning my heart, something I didn't see before. Because the Word of God, it's dynamic. You know, when you look at the newspaper, it informs you with bad news. But the Word of God transforms you with good news. It's not that the Word of God changes. It's that we change.
We learn
more and more. And God reveals himself more and more. More will be revealed. And what you said, we can look back at history and see what had happened. But we're not in history. And we're not in majesty. We're in the mystery of it all. And that the holy sacrifice of the Mass, it's so personal. You know, we're baptized into the Mass. We're baptized into his life, death, and resurrection. So this whole sacrifice of Christ and the resurrection and this banquet goes on in your heart, my heart, all the listeners' hearts. It goes on and on for all people. That whole act, when Jesus looked down at the cross and in the agony of the garden, looked in the cup, he saw you and me and all the sins of the world. And he forgave us all. But he also saw all the good things we can do for him. And he's his pain, he's his suffering, and our Blessed Mother's pain and suffering, because this is frozen, perpetuated for all time, for all people. But this week, it's all about the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the banquet in heaven.
Amen. Mm. All right, Bob, appreciate the call, brother. Happy Easter.
All right,
thanks, Bob.
I just want to issue a quick challenge to the other Bob. I want him to call before I call next Wednesday, because whoever calls second is the other Bob.
All right, brother. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter, Bob.
All right, and we're going to go over to the other line. Hello, Frank.
Yes.
How are you, brother? Happy Easter.
Hold on. Alexa, mute. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Is it Ken?
Yes, sir, and Father Doug.
I guess it's a delight, first time that happened. I was just calling to say hi. My two favorite people on radio. I almost said police radio.
Yeah.
I never heard you there.
Yeah, I've been on the police radio a couple times, but not on the right end.
Uh-huh. Well, I was on both, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, seriously, just want to say hi, and just a gentle reminder to anyone out there trying for the first time, or it's your 50th time or 100th time, doesn't really matter. Just go to Mass every day. Yeah. Pray every day. I mean, do the rosary every day. Exercise every day. It's a disease of the mind, body, and soul. You got to work it from every possible angle. Don't ever give up. Remember Einstein, how many times he tried to invent the light bulb before he got it. And so people out there, if you're having a hard time, don't do it no more. Just listen to Father Doug and Ken. Try to listen to
Where's my mute? Where's my mute button?
Caleb Radio. They're inspirational songs. They're Christian songs. They play the right one. They boost your spirits when you're down, and they kind of calm you down when you don't get too big on yourself.
Yeah.
I listen to the Chaplet from 3 to 4 in your station.
Very good.
I called him before. It's a pre-recorded thing. You get someone's phone number. I forget. She's located in Northeast somewhere, I think. I forget her name. But I just wanted to say hi to you guys, and send a message to people, like I said, just trying out there. It doesn't matter if it's your first time. If it's your first time, you're lucky. If it's not, don't feel bad about yourself. There's a possibility you're not going to feel sick no more once you get over it. It's a little hump to get over, but once you get over it, you don't feel sick no more. It feels great. Mm. Anyway, Ken and Father Doug, thanks a lot for everything.
Appreciate it. Thank you, brother. Happy Easter.
Take care. Yeah.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You, Frank. Hey, Frank.
Thanks. Yes.
You hear from Captain Lou?
Yeah, he called me around 10:04, reminding me. I forgot about it again. This morning, I remembered. So I got called Lou at 4:00, and I forgot. And he called me around 10:04, reminding me.
Uh-huh.
I always forget.
Yeah.
Hey,
junior moments.
Sober, but I still forget.
Yeah. All right, brother. Thanks, for the call. I appreciate it.
Happy Easter.
Bye. God bless.
All right, the phones just keep lighting up. We're going to go to Michael. Hello, Michael.
Hey, guys, what's up?
How you doing, brother?
Hey, Mike.
I'm doing very well. Happy Easter. Happy Holy Week.
Same to you.
Yeah, I was thinking, Kenny, I've heard you say quite often how Catholics don't testify to to their faith. Like the guys in AA do, or like the guys in recovery. Well, I have a little testament that I'd like to share with you guys. Holy Week, I don't know if it ever really meant a whole lot to me until I went to Calix. And it came alive through Calix. And it's such a beautiful, majestic, I don't know if there's any real words that can describe this week. No, I don't know. Let's get holy. You know, let's get holy this week. Now, I just wanted to call in and share that with you guys. I mean, that Calix has really turned my Catholic faith around for the better, and there's no doubt about that. I don't get there as much as I like to. But, I'm there in spirit, and hopefully soon I'll be able to get there on a more regular basis. That's all I got, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Michael. Appreciate the call. Happy Easter to you and your family, okay?
Yeah. Hey, Mike. Thanks. Hey, Michael, I was thinking what you were saying about Calix. You know, when you see AA, NA 12-step programs, they're really more about sobriety, where Calix is about sanctity. It's about our faith sharing, giving our testimonies like you just did so well. But, Calix, we're centered right with the Eucharist, right on the heart of Jesus. That's the solution. That's where, all our ills are taken care of. That's the remedy for us. It's Jesus Christ himself, the vine, and we're the branch. And apart from him, we can do absolutely nothing. But, right. You know, I look at our Catholic Church. We have a monopoly on sobriety when you really think about it, because everything good comes from God, and it comes through our Eucharistic sacrifice there. So in a real sense, we have a monopoly on sobriety and sanctity, you know, all of us, because at the end, we're all going to meet him on the cross, and he's going to take us home, you know. But thanks for calling in, Michael, and happy Easter to you.
Yeah. Happy Easter, guys.
All right, Michael. Be good, brother. Hope to see you soon.
Right, bye.
Bye-bye now. All right. Well, that clears the board of phone calls.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not sure where we want to start. We started off this morning.
Yeah, I just, you know, about the week, Ken, what I was saying, when you look at this week, we're so rich in our faith that what we do during this week is we take aspects of the week, of this hour of Jesus. But when you think about the Mass, you know, on Palm Sunday, we honor Jesus as our King, and we do that at every Mass. And then we come to really Holy Thursday. And by the way, today Holy Thursday is our anniversary of the priesthood. It's when Jesus instituted priesthood, and all the priests will meet down, you know, at the Basilica for the Mass of Chrism. And you might have 500, 600, 700 priests there. I used to always like to get in the middle of them and say, when you're looking for a priest, you can't find one. But it is our anniversary and the institution there of the priesthood, so that we can have the Eucharist, you know, and then the institution of the Eucharist. And this is Holy Thursday. We do this at every Mass. We celebrate the priesthood. We celebrate the Eucharist. And then, of course, Good Friday, we break it down again, and we're focused on the death of Jesus on the cross. We see how human he is. And we do that at every Mass. And then come Easter Sunday, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, and we see his divinity. And we do that at every Mass. So this is all about this rich hour of Christ, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the banquet, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. And we're baptized into that. And where he goes and where Mary goes, they're models we follow to that place in heaven, to those verdant pastures beside restful waters. But yes, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, it's so rich that we take this whole week to look at the different aspects of it and to enter into this hour of Jesus, this holiness, this sanctity of Jesus Christ. And somebody was just saying about Michael, I think it was, or Bob, you know, to be holy. And it's like it's a commandment from our Lord, you know. It's like be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect, and be holy as God is holy, as the Father is holy. So it really is a commandment. And because he asks us to do it, we can do it, because he gives us the grace, especially in the sacraments that we celebrate. Personal encounters with Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, who empowers us to be just like him. I had to say this story just comes to mind. I was talking to somebody before, and, well, I'm trying, Father, he said, and I keep falling down, you know. And sometimes I think we plateau off. I'm not going to get that holy. I'm not going to get that perfect. But yet this commandment to do that. And the story that comes to mind is the baby eaglet. Somehow the egg is in the nest of the chickens. And when the eggs are hatched, the eaglet looks around and it thinks it's a chicken. It starts doing what the chickens does. It'll scratch the ground, you know. It'll dig for worms. As it gets older, it flaps its wings. It might fly, you know, a couple inches off the ground or whatever. And this one day, this baby eaglet grew up, and now he's an eagle, but he thinks he's a chicken. And he looks up at the sky and he sees a golden eagle. And he looks at it and he says, "What is that bird up there?" And one of the kings of the chickens says, "That's the golden eagle, but never give it another thought, because you'll never be like that." And this eagle, thinking it was a chicken, died thinking it was a chicken, when all the time it could have soared to the heavens. And sometimes we think, you know, we're just who we are. I'm human, like a license to sin. No, we're also divine by baptism. And we can soar to the heavens because of what Jesus Christ won for us, because of his grace, because of his transforming love. We can fly like John, the eagle, higher and higher and higher, and to be saints. We're called to be saints, to be mystics, to be holy like God is holy, to be perfect like God is perfect. It's a commandment, and he gives us the sacraments and the graces to do it. And if we don't become a saint, Blame no one but yourself.
Amen. And I think these 3 days, the church in its wisdom sets them aside for us to participate in the various liturgies that'll take place, and to watch even the transformation of our churches. Some of the churches started 2 weeks ago with, you know, covering all the statues with purple and what have you, so that some of our churches look pretty bare now. And then after the Mass of the Last Supper tomorrow night, the altars will be really stark, right? We take all the linens off. We replace the Blessed Sacrament, not in a normal tabernacle, usually in another spot. And so the church just looks really stark. And we come back on Friday and for the Passion, and there'll be most of the churches will have a separate cross that they'll bring out for just that liturgy. And when that's concluded, it's still quiet and stark, and we wait those 24, 36 hours until the Easter Vigil. And then one of our, and I was just talking about my sister this morning, asked her what she, you know, if they were going to be in town for Easter, and I said, you know, we'd be around during the day Saturday, but we would go into the vigil Saturday night. And she's like, you still go to that vigil on Saturday night, that 2 hour thing? And I was like, for me, it's when the church transitions from that starkness to after the Old Testament readings, and we start ringing the bells and sing the Gloria. And at least in my parish, they have all the flowers hidden away, and the lights come on, and people from the congregation process up and decorate the altar with the flowers, and the linens are put back on. And it's like all of a sudden that, you know, the church has been restored. And it's really, I think, what Easter's about, the restoration, the redemption that Christ came to give us, that only he could give us. You know, the prophets that went before him, even his Blessed Mother, he didn't have the Holy Spirit yet. It took Jesus coming into his humanity in order to redeem us. And it's almost in that split second during that Easter Vigil that we watch how that happens.
Yeah. You know, when the church is empty there, Good Friday, the tabernacle doors are open. You know, you just sense someone's missing here. And all day Saturday, you know. And, of course, when that consecration comes again and Jesus is back on the altar, he's back with us. But it gives you that hunger, Ken, and it gives you that thirst. Because sometimes we take it all for granted. I mean, we were at Mass today, right, Ken, at Epiphany? And it was good to see another community of faith. And daily communicants. They're my kind of people. They know where it's at, you know, right there. Come to me. We know where he's at. He's telling us, come to me. You're there in the Eucharist. Right. Come to me. Receive me. You who are weak and afraid and anxious and weary and tired, I'll give you rest. I'll give you everything you need. Just come to me.
Yeah. And so many people, they do things just for Lent, whether it's give up alcohol or sweets or fasting, whatever it is that we do, and then come Easter Sunday, it's like a sigh of relief. Ah, it's over.
Yeah.
And it's like, really, we're just getting started. Yeah, you know?
The Easter day is
actually eight days with the octave. But, you know, you mentioned daily communicants, and, you know, the people that we know that go to make an attempt to get to Mass every day, sometimes things just happen and you may not be able to get there. But the people that go to the Mass every day are a different breed. And I know it's had a huge impact on me. I even see it with some of the people, my wife and Sue included, the night before now. She's like, then where are you going to Mass tomorrow? Like, she knows now that, that daily Mass is part of my life. And I'm so much better for it. Patrick witnesses to it all the time, the impact that it's had on him and him going to Mass. And he's not afraid to witness it to other people. But the people that we see there every day, they're just – things don't ruffle them up the way the rest of the people get riled up. There's a calmness, a serenity. And that doesn't mean that everything in their life isn't chaotic and topsy-turvy. It just means that we're in a position where we know what's important. We know who's important. And that stuff somehow or other is going to get taken care of.
Yeah.
And it just gets reinforced every time we go to Mass and receive our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament.
Amen. Yeah. It's not part of the day. It's the heart of the day.
All right. We got just about at the bottom of the hour. We want your calls for that. Is that odd or is that God? I'll give you out the phone numbers, 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or call us toll-free at 888-34-FAITH, 888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Every experience God gives us, every person He puts in our lives, is the perfect preparation for a future only God can see. My name is Anne McGlone, and I am sharing this inspiration with you today during this powerful radio program, In His Sign Catholic Radio Network, hosted by Kathleen McCarthy. The Lord called Kathleen to prepare us for a future only God can see. This is a program and a radio network which captures, elevates, inspires, and catechizes the hearts of all who listen. Kathleen is preparing hearts through this ministry as she ministers in hospital rooms privately, global conferences, and personal prayer times with individuals who listen and perfect strangers on the street. The Lord is inviting you today to become a faithful listener, for He wants you to set your heart on fire through this radio network. Are you willing to listen in the silence of your heart? This is the question the Lord is asking you. God bless you.
To you, our faithful family of listeners, no words can express how much we appreciate your standing in the gap with us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It is truly your amazing prayer power, your undaunting commitment, that has enabled us to stay on the air. No doubt about it. Be assured of our daily prayers, not only for you, but for your families as well. We pray that God will continue to bless you as you bless us. To join us and become a ministry partner, visit our website at inhissign.com or give us a call at 610-527-2906.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and Father Douglas McKay. And again, we want to praise and thank God for all of you and all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your prayerful and financial support that's kept us on the air for over 40 years. If you haven't checked out our website recently, please visit inhissign.com. You can listen to recorded shows on the podcast page. If you click on content and then podcasts, you'll get all the recordings. You can also visit our Facebook page for In His Sign Catholic Radio. We saw a number of people that started following us as of today even. So Maureen and company do a great job of keeping that Facebook page updated with important things going on, especially in the church. And we'd like to keep you updated on what's going on with the Catholic Society, a great organization for Catholics and 12-step programs, where our motto is, we substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies. Father McKay and I get together along with Patrick and a host of others every Tuesday in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. Most Tuesdays we gather in the Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson, where we begin at 6 o'clock with a short adoration period followed by Mass, and then our Calyx meeting at 7 o'clock. On the third Tuesday of the month, we go over to St. Gabriel's Church, where we have our Matt Talbot Holy Hour from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., followed by Mass at 8 o'clock. This month, on the 18th, our guest celebrant will be Father John Wackerman, and he's got a few women that he started working with up in Queen of the Universe in Levittown. They come to our weekly prayer meeting at St. Luke's, and the ladies are going to come down on Tuesday the 18th and provide the music for us as well. all are more than welcome, not just those in recovery, those that are in need of recovery, and especially their family members. We pray for everybody that's affected by addiction, so everybody's more than welcome to come. Again, this month, that'll be Tuesday, April the 18th at 6 o'clock. The unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown meets on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock in the Parish Center. Their next meeting should be tomorrow night, but because it's Holy Thursday, I haven't heard from Tom, but I suspect that that meeting is going to be canceled. So they'll be getting together on Thursday, April the 20th. The unit Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary and Media gets together on the third Saturday of each month. And that third Saturday this month happens to be Holy Saturday. And because of that, they've postponed the meeting until May. So they'll be getting together in May 13th. The unit at my home parish, the St. Luke the Evangelist in Glenside, gets together on the third Saturday of the month. We go to the 8:30 a.m. Mass and then have a Calyx meeting afterwards. Our next meeting will be on Saturday, April the 15th. The unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield meets on the last Saturday of the month, beginning with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting, and they'll be getting together on Saturday, April the 29th. And our good friend Sheila and Joe Connor, Tom Dillon, and them all gather together in Wilmington, Delaware, every Wednesday. They have 6:15 p.m. Mass at St. Matthew's, followed by their Calyx meeting there. And last but not least, I'm going to be joined in the 5 o'clock hour by Father Robert Spitzer, and we're going to be talking about his book, The Moral Wisdom of the Catholic Church, and you're going to want to stick around for that one. Father Spitzer is always a great guest. So without any further ado, we'll go back to the phones, but we didn't get any phone calls. So I guess Jesus is waiting until after the resurrection to touch some people. But
Otter God?
Yeah. I had one yesterday. I shared at Calyx, and as a direct result of doing these shows over the years and the interactions I've had with Susan Tassone, who probably has one of the greatest devotions to the souls in purgatory, and it comes on every November, and we talk about that. And 2 weeks ago on the 19th, before the 19th, she had called me and recommended Father Leo Joseph come on to talk about the Pious Union of St. Joseph. So again, reminded about the souls in purgatory. And I dug up my book. I've been looking for it. And the devotional that Susan wrote, it's a daily devotional for praying with and for the souls in purgatory. And the reading yesterday, the reflection yesterday, talked about praying for our deceased family members and mentioning them by name. And I've been doing family history now for 30 years. I have all of my third great grandparents, and I think I'm missing one fourth great grandparent. So I've got plenty of ancestors I can pray for by name. And I had actually started on the 23rd of March praying for a different one each day and trying to gain that plenary indulgence by having gone to confession, detachment from sin, making daily Mass, and then either doing the Stations of the Cross, praying the Rosary with a group, going to adoration for at least 30 minutes, or reading Scripture for 30 minutes. And it's been interesting as I remember each one of these relatives. Some of them I've never met. They were deceased before I was born. And yet I feel like I'm getting to know them. But I thought it was interesting yesterday when I finally found that devotional that I mentioned praying for our ancestors by name.
Mm-hmm.
Otter God.
Otter God. Yeah. You know, when you say Otter God, last night when we had our Calyx meeting and Patrick was the chair, did a good job and talked about his dimes, you know, with his sister Kellyanne that passed away, and finding dimes. And Tom in the back said, well, we got five new guys here and they don't know the story of the dimes. Can you tell the story of the dimes? And I said, yeah. And they talked about Joe Kahl. And by the way, Otter God, you know, this is the first time I heard the expression was from Joe Kahl, Otter right. God. And we always use that. So anyway, Joe Kahl was the one who told me about the dimes, that he would be in the bar and, you know, closing up at 2 o'clock and sweeping the floor and find these dimes. And then he would go off for his holy hour. And then he was going to quit the holy hour, and he, as he got up, he looked and there was a dime down there, and he told me this story. So I start finding dimes, and then I was telling Joe Grady, you know, right outside of Divine Love Chapel. And as I'm telling him the story of the dime, a lady comes up, bends down, picks up a dime, and says, "Is this your dime?" And I'm seeing this guy in front of me, Chris, and I can see something's happening to him with the dimes. And he says, now I have to share something. My heart is burning. I had my last drink at the Glenside Pub with Joe Kahl there and Ryan, and I know the family very well and all of this. And it was like, is this odd or God? The dimes, Joe Kahl, this new man having the last drink in Joe's bar, and the odd or God comes from Joe, and the dimes come from Joe. I think Joe was really showing us that he's risen with Jesus Christ in that place in heaven and looking out for us.
Yeah, no, and it's the other ties. So the first time that you and I spoke on the phone and I mentioned I was from Glenside and you asked if I knew Joe, and Joe was the first one. He actually drove me down to Grace. I'd never been to Grace Ferry before.
Right.
And the first time I came down, Joe gave me a ride. I can still remember the ride down Kelly Drive and talking on the way, and just a beautiful soul. And now, we've got another priest our listeners may be familiar with if you go to the Miraculous Metal Shrine, Father Michael Shea. And Father Shea, when he offers Mass, a lot of times he'll read the reflection from Jesus Calling after Communion. And we know that Joe Kahl he probably distributed more of those Jesus Calling books than anybody on this planet. I got a couple of odd or God stories about the Jesus Calling book and people Joe gave it to and what have you. But just a holy soul, a daily communicant. And just a good guy. And he was another one that, he connected the dots. He was a benefactor here at Innocent Catholic Radio, great friends with Kathleen McCarthy.
All those connections, Ken. And the first time I met you, I remember we were upstairs of the Ark and about ready, looking at it. Father Lee said, we can have it if we want to restore it. And it was pigeon heaven. I mean, it was a mess. Mm-hmm. And we decided, well, we might not want to do this. Pat McLaughlin said, we can do this. And Joe Kahl brings up Calyx Society. And I said, well, what is it, Joe, the Calyx Society? He said, well, it's for Catholics in recovery and all, and sharing our faith. I said, well, we're doing that right now, Joe, so let's just keep doing what we're doing. And so, Kathy had given me something that you have sent, that you have sent the brochure about the Calyx Society. I said, there's something here. Yeah. And I called Jim Bellickmeyer. And he was telling me about Calyx is the best kept secret in the church. And then he gave me your number.
Yeah.
And I remember that conversation on the telephone. I said, Ken, we're in a cave here, and it's a cave-in. We need all the help we can get. Can you come down and tell us about what Calyx is all about? And you came down that day and that meeting that Tuesday, and you never left.
Yeah, February 2009.
Yeah.
And over 14 years now.
Yeah.
Really incredible.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Otter God.
Otter God. Maybe we got another Otter God on the line. Hello, Matt.
Hello.
Hey, brother. How are you?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
All right. What's going on?
Am I on the air?
You're on the air.
How about that? I was just listening to the show, and you mentioned the book Jesus Calling. And about an hour ago, I was in Adoration Chapel at my local parish and happened to pick this book up and thumbed through it a little bit, and it looked interesting, and I wanted to know a little bit more about it since you had just mentioned it. Would you mind explaining what it is? Your understanding, at least?
Yeah, it's a daily devotional. It's not... it's not necessarily Catholic per se, but my introduction to it was through Joe Kahl a number of years ago, and just something that it's one more thing and one more tool that people can use in order to grow closer to God. And Father's been through it, and maybe you want to comment, Father.
Yeah, You know, really, it's her personal relationship with Jesus based on the scriptures, Matt. And what I got out of it, it's not Eucharistic, but it's really based on the Holy Scriptures and the Word of God. And she would have locutions, hearing Jesus speak to her, and she would write it down. And when you read it day by day, because there's a little, item there for each day of the year, when you read it, it touches your heart, and it helps you to hear Jesus talking to you. And by the Word of God, you know, you read the Word of God, and you put yourself right in the Word of God, right in the Scriptures, right in the Gospel. You know, if Jesus is on the boat and he's calming the storm, and you wake him up, you're on the boat, you know, and he's calming your storm. And the storms are the storms in our heart. You know, we have so many storms. So it's about our faith, that our faith is our constant and rides us through. So what I got out of it, what I went through it, was to help me really to listen to Jesus more, and that it is a personal relationship with our Lord. And the Protestants do that, our Protestant brothers and sisters, they really promote that so well, you know, a personal relationship with Jesus. And it really is. It's that personal relationship. And so that's what I got out of the book, and having a deeper relationship, a deeper intimacy with Jesus, who's always, always with us.
Okay. You mentioned Father Shea, and I recall a couple of times after, I guess after communion, he would read something. Was he reading from this book?
Yes.
Like a reflection? He was.
Yeah, that's where it comes from.
That's where it comes from.
Yep, he's got the app on his phone. There's a bunch of different versions, but yeah, he's got the app on his phone, so he'll pull his phone out after communion and usually read that for those that are at Mass.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So
yeah.
It sounds like both of you are supportive of it. Is that fair to say?
So I wouldn't say supportive. I would say that it's something that we've used in the past. And it's like other things, Matt. And the reason I hesitate is because, as Father mentions, it's not Eucharistic in nature. It's not Catholic. There are people that have mentioned that it may be something that you want to avoid. And so it's like a lot of other things that are out there and various authors, that if you're solid in your Catholic faith, that You may pick up on subtleties that others may not, and I don't think you're ever going to be led astray by it. I mean, Joe Cobb, who we've been talking about for 5 minutes here, was one of the holiest men you'd ever meet, and he got a lot of wisdom and helped his spiritual life using it.
Yeah.
Father and I, we talk about the show, the saints, and there's all kinds of writings from the saints. Obviously, scripture should be number one, but it's another tool in the arsenal. Mm-hmm. If you happen to come across it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just not complete. Like, we have the fullness, you know, of the truths. You know, we have the Eucharist and all, but it is the Word of God, and it's nothing that conflicts with our religion. But it can enhance our religion. But if you look at Kathleen McCarthy, she has these locutions from Jesus, and she'll speak them. But she'll speak through Jesus. Will speak through her, through the fullness of our faith, with the sacraments, where he comes to us in a personal way, embraces us in these sacraments and these floodgates of grace. So that's what it's lacking. It's just not complete. But it is on the Word of God, and it doesn't. You know, it doesn't antagonize Catholicism or attack our faith, but can really inspire us to go more deeply into our faith.
Gotcha. Just one other question: that woman that other book that you just mentioned, Father, about Kathleen, and what was her last name?
McCarthy. So Kathleen's actually the president of this radio apostolate. She's on the air. Actually, on Tuesdays, she reads from her books called In the Silence of My Hearts, In the Silence of My Heart, rather. And it's quite interesting. We've had Kathleen at a couple of Calyx gatherings in the past, where she would pray over people And she just has this gift that, you know, the Holy Spirit works through her. And she's often said things that only God would know as she prays over people. And it's one of the gifts that she and others have. But she's more, I think, public with it. And like Father said, she's written, you know, 10 books now that are based on those messages that she receives. And, you know, the one, you know, difference between her and perhaps Jesus Calling and some of the other books that are out there is all of her material goes through the archdiocese, through the bishops. So she gets an imprimatur and a Neil Obstat, which is, you know, should let readers know that there's nothing they're going to find in the book that goes against Catholic teaching.
Yeah. I was on retreat with Kathleen, helping her out, you know, doing the masses, giving one of the talks, you know, doing the Eucharistic celebrations, benediction. And she had asked me to come up, and she prayed over me. And she wanted me to speak prophetically, like Jesus. Father, just let go and let Jesus say what he wants to say through you. And I just start talking like whatever came into my mind. It was like Jesus giving me these words, and I was speaking these words like Kathleen would do. So, no, but the Lord lives in each and every one of our hearts, and he speaks to us all, Matt. And it's so intimate, his presence, and so personal. And the more we come out of the world and our own sinfulness and worldliness, the more we experience the kingdom and the presence, this indwelling presence of God, and we begin to hear him. Maybe not so much in the English language, but in the peace and the joy, the felt love, the glory of God, you know. And then we can put that into words, whatever the Holy Spirit may say to us. But, yeah, the difference between, you know, Kathleen and you know, Jesus Calling would be Kathleen would be, give us the fullness of our faith.
Amen.
That's wonderful. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
All right, Matt, appreciate the call, pal. Probably won't see you before, so happy Easter to you and your family.
Yeah, same to you. Same to you guys both.
Thank you, Matt.
Much.
God bless.
All right, God bless.
Bye-bye now.
Never know which way this is going to go, and Ken, the radio show.
No. Not when the radio lines are blinking. But it's all good.
Yeah,
it's all good, man.
Good.
Yeah. So but, we only got about 7 minutes left.
Yeah. The one thing you said though, I want to comment on it was like Christmas. I always remember Christmas Day, and then sometimes Stretch Day would be the next day, and all the trees would be cut down. It was like Christmas is over, and like you said, it's the octave. The whole Christmas Day, and then you have the Christmas season. We're still celebrating Christmas. In the same way with Easter, it's like it's not over Easter Sunday. It goes through 8 days, the Easter day, and then it goes all through, you know, all the way 40 days after Easter, the Ascension, Pentecost. You know, we're still in the Easter season. We're still celebrating that. So it's so rich that we need to embrace that and enter into the risen Christ. But I was thinking about the 8 days, the octave. And if you see a lot of the statues in church, the base is usually eight sides. And it's a symbolic for the eighth day. You have Monday, Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then the eighth day is eternal life. And I see that a lot on the baptismal fonts. But one time I was hearing the confessions for the Pink Sisters. And this nun, she gave me a caterpillar in a cocoon hanging from a thread. And it was a see-through cylinder. And she says, Father, do you want to see a miracle? And I said, yeah. She said, well, take this home. Be careful with the bumps, and you'll see something beautiful that's going to happen. I said, sister, are you trying to get an easier penance from me or something? So I took it home, Ken. And I looked at it, and, for 8 days, it looked like nothing was happening, like it was kaput. I was going to throw it out. But on the eighth day, it was amazing. I woke up and I saw this beautiful monarch butterfly, you know, the designer lines all through it, the black, the golden, and it's looking at me with two beady eyes and flapping its wings. And I could swear that somebody came into the room and put that in there. I looked at my door and it was still locked, so nobody could go in there. And then sister said, you know, let the wings dry and then take it out to the garden. And I took it out to the garden and put my hand in there, and the butterfly plopped on my index finger and looked at me, and it's flapping the wings looking at me, and then it just flew up over into the flowers for the nectar. And what hit me was, this was a caterpillar that took forever to go where it was going and would eat dirt. Now it's free, like a butterfly, to fly and eat the finer foods. And God did this for an insect. You know, what's he going to do for us?
Amen.
You know, this transformation. You know, when we see him as he is and we see ourselves as we are, you know. But and that was the eighth day. And that's what we're preparing, you know, for the eighth day is really leaving this world and going into his, into eternal life with the risen Christ.
Yeah, amen. Like you said, we get the, you know, another thing that the folks learn if, you know, we're paying attention, that it is the octave and we have 8 days to celebrate. And now it culminates in Divine Mercy Sunday.
Mm,
you know,
yes.
something we didn't have when
that's
I was
right.
A kid, and you know, it was St. Faustina and John Paul II, especially mm-hmm. in his devotion and making the people aware. And I always remember the line where, you know, Jesus is telling Faustina that he wants this day, the Divine Mercy.
Yeah.
And Faustina says, well, we already have it. And Jesus says, yeah, but nobody knows about it.
About it, yeah.
You know?
Beautiful. You know, I was thinking that the greatest feast day in the church, Divine Mercy Sunday. I said, well, what happened to Easter Sunday? It's Easter night.
Yeah.
It's the eighth day. We're still celebrating Easter. Right. It's the, you know, and that whole thing, when he appears to them in that room, and, gosh, his first word to the apostles, I mean, that doors are locked. They're scared. His first word, peace be with you? I mean, I might have said something like, hey, guys, you bunch of bums. You left me, you flat leavers. Yeah. I'm just here to get 12 new apostles. You're done. No. Peace be with you. That love. And then to show those glory wounds of his, you know, and to ease their pain and their suffering and to help them through their guilt and their shame. Wow, what mercy is that, Ken?
Right, right.
Divine mercy.
And all examples for us, because who of us aren't, you know, at some point been, you know, full of shame and guilt, and especially some of the lives that we've lived, especially in the throes of addiction. And, you know, if Jesus was willing to forgive the ones that were closest to him, that abandoned him at the time that he may have needed them most, how much more is he willing to, you know, reconcile with us?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the opportunities abound in these next couple of days to grow closer to Christ. Most parishes have probably already had their opportunities to go to confession. There probably isn't one now, although I'm sure if you grab a priest somewhere, somehow, he may still be willing to hear that confession. But to be reconciled at this time of year, especially approaching this Triduum, is just a wonderful thing.
It really is. It's just this mercy. You remind me of the story I told yesterday in my homily. Was about the Last Supper. And at the end of the supper, the waitress brings the check to Jesus. And he looks at the check. He says, what? And he looks at Peter, who's going to deny him, Judas, who left to betray him, the other ones that are going to ban him. He looks at them. He looks at the check, looks up at the waitress, says, separate checks, please. But he didn't do that. He took the whole bill. He paid for all of our sins. But more than that, he took away our shame and guilt. But even more than that, destroyed death. And even more than that, eternal life.
Amen.
And what is eternal life? God's life. To be like God. To become God by participation. Wow. You know,
amen.
Amazing.
Well, we got just about a minute left, Father. So final word and your blessing, if you would.
Final word. God, I don't have time for another story, right?
Quick one.
Yeah, I think I'll just let that go then, Ken. But let me just say that the whole summary, it's a week of extravagant love. You know, it's the intimacy of Jesus Christ. I love that word, intimacy. He's like, he stands before us this week with that heart of his pulsating his love, and he's saying, intimacy, my love for you, my forgiveness, my mercy, my joy, my completeness, my fulfillment, my glory for you. Intimacy it all, because I won all this for you from the cross. Come to me, and receive my gifts of mercy and transforming love.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, Holy Spirit,
amen. Amen.
God, our Father, we praise and thank you for this week of extravagant love, for sending your Son to us and telling us who we are, where we're going, and where we belong. In that place in heaven that your Son, our brother Jesus, won for us, those verdant pastures beside restful waters. In the meantime, help us to be more faithful and loving towards one another and living that gospel of yours, that gospel of peace joy, and Easter glory, and bless us all. The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Happy Easter, Ken.
Happy Easter,
Patrick,
Father.
Everybody.
Happy Easter to all our listeners. And I believe our guest, Father Spitzer, is already on the line for the 5 o'clock hour. Don't go away. We'll be right back.